Hello, 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 and welcome to episode 39 of The Good, The Dan, The Florida Man. With us, as always, your hosts.
I'm Ryan, I'm The Good.
And
I'm Dan, I'm The Dan.
And I'm Ben, I'm The Florida Man. And that's another intro we actually got right.
That's shocking, but great.
If this is your first time listening in, thank you for joining us. We hope we say something to make you want to come back again next week. We are three stand-up comedians that got shut down as COVID hit the world and we turned to a podcast. We do a lot of crazy things. None of it really makes sense, but we hope that you enjoy listening to it. This week, we are interviewing a good friend of ours and a friend of the podcast. She's got 2.1 million followers on TikTok, 780,000 followers on YouTube. You might know her as just that one crazy teacher, or you might know her as R. Rogers World. She'll be joining the podcast in a little bit, but before we bring her in, we are still stand-up comics. We still have shows coming up. Ryan, where can they see you?
My comedy special, Girlfriends and Girlfriends, is going to get filmed on March 5th in St. Louis, Missouri at Westminster Christian Academy, so if you want to go there and see and be part of it, go do those things. It's going to be great. Dan, what about you?
Just come check me out at open mics in Utah. Other than that, come check me out on Ben's tour. Ben, what's your tour doing?
We're going all over the place, Dan. In February, we have on the 20th, Denver, Colorado at the Improv. The 21st, Des Moines, Iowa at the Funny Bone. The 22nd, Omaha, Nebraska at the Funny Bone. The 23rd will be in Kansas City, Missouri at the KC Improv. The 27th will be in Batavia, Illinois at the Comedy Vault. The 28th will be in Chicago, Illinois at Zany's. March 1st, Appleton, Wisconsin, Skyline. March 2nd, Fort Wayne, Indiana at Summit City. March 3rd, Louisville, Kentucky at the Louisville Comedy Club. March 8th will be in Richmond, Virginia at the Funny Bone. March 9th will be in Virginia Beach, Virginia at the Funny Bone. March 11th will be in Lake Park, Florida at the Lake Park Black Box. And March 12th will be at Boca Raton, Florida at the Boca Black Box.
The list didn't get shorter.
It got two shows shorter. Oh, man. With that all being said, and without further ado, let's welcome our guest for the day. Everyone say hi to Rebecca Rogers. Hello.
Hi. Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Thanks for having us. This is your podcast now.
Right. You're just giving the reins away.
Please take it from us. Thank you for being here. And Rebecca, as we do every time we have a guest, we love story time on this podcast. So we were talking a little bit before this. Can you tell me more about the most unfortunate weekend ever?
Okay, it is a little bit longer story, but there's just so many unfortunate events. You can't make it any shorter. It has to be.
No. Tell us everything in excruciating detail.
So this is the reason I will never, ever take kids on a field trip again, especially one that's across the country.
Please. You went on a cross-country field trip with children?
Not cross, like, horizontal. Cross, like, vertical. I took them to New York.
Oh, cool. Wait, was it, you said you took them to New York, like, that was a choice that you made individually.
Yes. Were their permission slips signed?
Yes, they were signed.
All right.
She just steals a class of kids. She's like, I'm taking you to New York. You need life experience.
So, you guys know me. Like, I'm kind of a petty individual. So it kind of started when, you know, I started at my second school and I was still a second year teacher. And I was told that a club was being taken away from another teacher because she just left kids on field trips.
What?
And I thought, yeah, just like
she would left them. Take them, yeah, on the field trip and then leave.
Yeah, she would like leave to go take a nap or just like want to go home. That'd, yeah, like
all right, I was feeling the same thing. I was like how could she? And then you said take a nap and I was like, oh yeah, that sounds wonderful. Yeah.
Well, so they gave me the club. It was Model United Nations. And she was so offended that
calm
it was
down,
from her. She told me that I would never be able to figure out how these conferences worked. Probably just shouldn't go on any the first year. So I decided I was going to find the coolest conference in the whole country and take the kids. And I decided I was taking them to the actual United Nations in New York City.
Wow. In what state was this school that you were working at the time?
In North Carolina.
So you had to go halfway up the East Coast to get to the actual UN.
Yes.
Where? What grade?
These are high school kids. So it ranged from freshmen to seniors.
The worst.
So 14 to 18. Got yeah, it.
The most rebellious of all the teenagers.
Rebellious, hormonal, some can yeah. drive and escape.
And not only are you taking just that class, you're taking just that class or group of kids to go meet yeah. other kids. And
yes, then, from around the world. I also want to preface this is early March 2020.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Oh, that is bad news. I know how this story goes.
You know who the chaperones were? My parents.
That's it.
Oh my god.
That's
yeah,
it.
Because
how many kids were on this trip?
Yeah, how many?
13 maybe.
Okay, that's not as
I was expecting 40.
Yeah. No, this is a very small club. Honestly, most of the kids were some of the best kids in the entire school, and it like leading up to it, planning it wasn't that bad. You know, I'm a planner, I'm organized when it comes to like planning. I did very similar things in organizing competitions and like that and things like that when I was in college cheerleading. So right. like the planning aspect was fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The planning yeah. aspect of bringing 13 children to New York to see the Model UN at the start of COVID. Great plan. I'm loving it already.
Yeah. I thought it was gonna go great. Until, you know, the day before we left, this mom called me. If I'm gonna bring the kids across the country, they should have my phone number just in case. And this mom called me at 6 o'clock at night, really upset, asking me why the plane changed or the plan changed. And I said, What do you mean the plan that nothing changed? And she said, why are you not paying for my daughter's meals while we're away? I said, that's never been a thing. It was never included. That's not included with the conference. And she just kept saying that when she goes on cruise vacations, meals are always included. And I'm like,
no, see what you're failing to understand. What you're failing to understand right now, Rebecca, is that school is daycare.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And so a field trip is a vacation.
Is a cruise.
You're going to the United Nations?
Yeah.
They aren't effective at doing anything. What makes you think you're going to get a whole meal out of
it? Yeah, it's UN brought to you by Royal Caribbean.
This is a Disney cruise to New York City. You know the one.
Yeah.
She couldn't understand that it wasn't a vacation. And when I told her, she just started yelling, just very angry. And I told her, I said, you signed the forms, everything, every form said exactly what was included. Food was never there. She said, well, my daughter just said that it was, and now it's all of a sudden more expensive. And I said, again, everything was on the form.
Yeah.
If it wasn't on the form, then I'm sorry, your daughter made it up. Are you calling my daughter a liar?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
A high school student who probably just wanted to go on a trip and convinced you to pay for part of it.
Right. And she just started yelling. And after about 5-10 minutes, I said, look, I'm making dinner. Like, it's 6:30. If you keep yelling at me, I'm just going to have to hang up. And she said, well, if you hang up, I'm recording you. And I'm going to send this recording to your principal. And I said, hey, principal. And I just hung up right there.
Yeah. Yes, we
solid. So then, like, the next day before we left, my principal called me and was like, this lady's very upset. She thinks you're discriminating against her. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, she said that she's convinced that because you heard her accent that you were being judgmental because you're xenophobic. And I said, principal, don't you know that my dad is foreign? And so are my grandparents and my uncles. And he goes, oh, I didn't know that. And I'm like, okay, well, there you go. Like, I don't hate foreign people, clearly. Like,
you're
that's
obviously discriminating against this woman for not being able to understand simple concepts and words. Which, honestly, if we're going to discriminate against a group of people...
And that's so ableist of you.
No. This was functioning human being that chooses to not read words on a paper and then gets mad at someone else because they refuse to read the words.
Yeah, she's chosen to not be able.
So we then, like, get to the airport. Mom doesn't even go to drop off the kid. She sends the dad.
Of course.
And the girl, the little girl, comes up. I guess she's not a little girl, but the younger woman comes up to me and she goes, my mom is giving me $500 to spend on food for the next 4 days. And I'm
four
like,
days.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
$500.
Okay. $500.
This is the episode of Arrested Development where the mom is like, how much could a banana cost? $1,000?
You want me to pay how much? Maybe that's why she thought, she was like, I guess I could give you like $500. I don't know. Here's a little bit of money.
New York City is expensive. So, I don't know. A sandwich is probably what, 40? 50?
Food for 4 days? $500? Yeah. That gave me anxiety just
hearing. Her daughter's a hobbit. She has to eat 7 meals a day.
Yeah, no kidding.
She goes, my mom says you have to hold my money for me. And I said, no, absolutely not.
Was this cash?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And I said, I'm not holding your money for you. That's not happening. And she says, my mom says the principal says that you have to hold it for me. And so like, we're already running late. Oh. Like we're having issues with the bus. So I said, you know what? I'm going to take it right now. And as soon as we land, I'm going to call the principal and have a conversation with him. Okay. Okay. We get on the plane. And as we're landing, I'm getting ready to dial the principal's number. And I get a tap on my shoulder. And it's a different girl.
Uh-huh.
Miss Rogers. We'll call her Sally. Different. Completely
that was
different.
Her name.
No. We'll call the girl with the money, Margaret. We'll call...
The second girl, Sally.
Yeah. Yes. Another girl. Sally's not breathing. She's sitting there having a panic attack as the plane is coming down.
What?
I said, what?
What?
Wait. Hold on. Sally is a different girl completely?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
And Margaret is having
Margaret's enough. The girl with the money. Margaret is the girl with the money.
And Margaret has the evil mom.
Margaret has the money. Sally has the panic attack.
No.
Yes. Yeah.
Margaret has
the yes.
Yeah. Margaret has the money. Sally has the panic attack.
If you were picking
which
one you would rather have, I'm definitely
team. I would take the money. Every time.
So I'm like jumping over my mother, who I'm sitting next to because she's chaperoning, and like sprinting to the back of the plane, asking the other girl, like, when did this start? It started 10 minutes ago, but I thought I could handle it for you, Miss Rogers. Oh!
No, because I'm the mom of the group, and when you become the mom of the group, you just know how to handle panic.
Yeah. Mom friend activated.
MUN kids are different. They're like, I can do this. This is fine.
We'll call the girl who tapped me, who said that she was the mom of the group. We'll call her Sarah, okay?
Sarah,
okay.
Sally's having the panic attack. Sarah thought she could help her. I'm sprinting to the back to help Sally. She's like almost turning purple. I'm grabbing flight attendants, like putting her on the ground, like trying to help her breathe. As soon as the plane actually lands, I call her parents. Her parents are literally like, I don't know. She's flown before. Don't know what to tell you.
Wow.
Were they that calm?
Me?
No, the parents.
They were 100% calm. They were like, don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That's
you're like, your daughter is turning purple. Please.
That's the demeanor of a parent who's been like, yeah, she does that. I don't know.
That's the demeanor of a parent that's got spare kids.
I was about to say, that sounds like my parents with 6 children. They're like, we can afford to lose one. It's fine.
That one's fine. We
don't worry.
That one
We've seen this one do this one, this thing a lot.
Well, that's the thing. They were like, she's never had a panic attack before. She's flown on planes all the time. They're like, we don't know. We don't know what to tell you. And I'm like, great. So because she's a minor in another state without her parents, they legally have to take her to the hospital. So I have to go with her, and I tell my parents to just go with the rest of the kids. And just like, I'm completely forgetting to call my principal at this point about the stupid $500.
Yeah.
So we go to the hospital. Her blood pressure is like at 170. Like, yeah. She is stressing out. They can't, like, she can't calm down. They won't release her until she calms down, until she gets back to a normal level.
And that's how you calm a child down.
And she's just having a temper tantrum of that. She wants to leave now, and she wants to go back to the hotel.
Who are these children?
All you have to do at that point is just be like,
it's a mess. You want to know how I get her to calm down?
No.
I put Friends on Netflix. That gets her real good.
Her heart rate goes from 170 to 100.
As we are driving back in an Uber to the hotel, she looks at me and she goes, I'm really proud of Sarah. And I'm like, Sarah, why? And she's doing really great with her withdrawal symptoms. And I said, what?
This is a new addition.
She goes, yeah, Sarah's been like borderline having to go to rehab on like really hard drugs. And her mom told her she had to quit before this trip. And I'm just so glad she's not having like major withdrawal symptoms yet. And I'm looking at her.
I'm sorry. Oh, who's telling you this piece of information?
I'm gonna go home so bad.
Which person is giving you this?
We just got here. So the rest of the day is normal. I now tell my parents, like, keep an eye on Sarah. Did not know that was a thing.
Who told you the information about Sarah?
I'm still the new teacher at this school. No one told me a dang thing. And so the next day, the first day of the conference, Sarah comes up to me and she's like, I met a really cute boy in my delegation and I really want to go to lunch with his school. And I'm like, you're not going anywhere without a chaperone. Like, if we all want to go as a group, sure, great, we can do that. But you're not going anywhere without whatever. What if his teachers are there? And I'm like, no, I don't think that's a good idea. So she walks away kind of mad. And then other teachers from my county come up to me and they're like, you're being too strict. You're being too much. We give our kids a 4-block radius to go explore.
In New York City, they do.
Yeah, uh-huh. Teenagers.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Hold on. Okay, go back for a second. Our mic kind of, we had a little bit of technical issue. You couldn't hear us. Who gave you the information about the withdrawal symptoms?
Sally. The girl with the panic attack. Uh-huh.
The girl with the panic attack told you that the mom of the group.
Sarah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like she was having.
So the mom of the group
is a
drug addict, but was not having withdrawal symptoms, which is good. However, her friend was having a panic attack, and the panic attack girl was the one that told Rebecca that the mom of the group is not having withdrawal symptoms.
Well, you know what? I mean, at least she's not having withdrawal symptoms.
No, that is a good.
Actually, that is more concerning, though, because that would imply that she's still currently using drugs, like, on the
yes,
trip.
Yeah.
Meaning she smuggled them onto a plane.
Good for her.
Right? Which is impressive.
Good for her. Well, that's how you get the drugs off the plane, you have a panic attack.
She's like, really that is a very interesting yeah. distraction method of being like, I need you to play like you are having the worst panic attack. I need you to get so hyped. And she's like, like, absolutely
well,
insane.
She probably just told her, I have drugs on this plane. And Sally was like,
and she's like, I have drugs on this plane. You're an accomplice. Get ready to go to jail. And the girl was like,
Sarah's a genius.
That's a 200 IQ play right there. Like,
that's
Sarah,
why she's in the MUN. She's going to fix the world.
Sarah is batting well above her weight class.
You're not going to think she's a very big genius, I'm telling you. You're not.
Oh, no. These are children who have... Well, honestly, though, they've all somehow convinced you to chaperone a trip of them to New York City. So, it...
You know.
It's either they're real smart or the opposite is true.
These are a lot of the kids, though, that still troll my lives, like specifically my Instagram lives. Like, 2 years later, are still showing up in my Instagram lives. Hey, Miss Rogers.
Do you
remember
New York?
New York?
Oh my God.
Okay, it's me, the drug addict. Hey.
All right,
I'm off drugs.
So Sally's out of the hospital now, yeah?
Yes.
So Sally's out.
Comes back to the conference. We like go to the conference, and it's a multiple day conference.
Okay.
And during one of the days, Sarah's like, I met a cute boy in my delegation. I really want to go to lunch with him and his friends. And I'm like, no, you are not running around New York City by yourself.
Have you not seen Home Alone 2, Lost in New York?
Yeah. No, we're not doing it. And there are a few other teachers from my county, like in North Carolina, that I personally know. They're like, you're being too strict. We let our kids get a 4-block radius to just go.
And insanity.
Like, 14 to 18-year-olds, you just let them go? Yeah.
You're like, do you happen to have a drug addict in the group?
Yeah.
Who's the responsible mom of the group?
The responsible mom of the group is the drug addict.
Going
there
checks out.
She's the one that wants to go. It's Sarah. She wants to go with the boy. And then
going fully
back.
Based off of what I know about me as a high school student, 4-block radius is about 4 blocks too many.
Yeah.
Yes, agreed. And so she comes back and she goes, Miss Rogers, what if his teacher is there? And what if I have his teacher come to meet you? And I like, and like my, the other teacher friends are like, yeah, like do it. And I was like, okay, if I meet this teacher, you can go across the street. And so in the middle of like talking to Sarah and the other teachers, Margaret, the girl with the money girl, she goes, I want Chick-fil-A. And I'm like, great, go get you some Chick-fil-A. Whatever you want. And she goes, I need what it was like $20-something. And I'm like, and I just hand her her wad and I'm like, take this. And she's like, no, I only need this much. I said, I'm not sitting here just counting through your cash. You're taking it and you're keeping it. I said, I didn't have time to call the principal. I'm not dealing with it. I'm not keeping this. Here you go. And she's so mad. She was so angry.
She's like, you're going to give me independence? Jeez.
I love how the one girl wants like independence. Like, I'm going to go free in New York. And this other girl's like, literally like,
gives me the $20.
I need no more than this. I can't handle it.
Mother.
Sarah will use it on drugs.
Maybe that's why. She's like, please don't give me the money. Sarah is my ruin. My hotel mate.
Sarah brings me to like the front entrance where like this kid's school is meeting, and like up comes like this younger looking woman, and like in my gut I was like, there's no way this is a teacher. There's absolutely no way.
Oh no.
And then my mom literally said to me, she goes, Rebecca, you get so mad when people think that you're a child when you're really an adult. Don't do that to this teacher. And I was like,
do it to the teacher.
Okay, so they went across the street and they had lunch and they came back. And then she was like, I want to go with them to dinner again. And like my gut was like, I said, why don't we all go together?
Yeah.
All of us go across the street. And like my kids were intermingling with like her new friend and their teacher. And one kid comes up to like a kid comes up to me. His name is Mike. We'll call him Mike. And he goes, hey, Miss Rogers, like, can I go embarrass Sarah in front of her new boyfriend? And I was like, don't do that. Like, don't act dumb.
Be weird.
Like, your teacher's sitting over there. And he goes,
I like that he asked for permission to do that. He's like, okay. Yeah, another like lack of independence. He's like, can I go bully this person?
Can I go give this person some emotional trauma? Is that like a thing that you're okay with? Or
I'm telling you, some of these kids like are some of the best kids I've ever seen in a school. But he was like, can I go embarrass her? And I was like, no, like their teacher's sitting over there. Don't act a fool in front of like another adult. I'm the only adult you can do that in front of. And he goes, there's no adult over there. And I was like, what do you mean?
Oh no.
And he goes, I'll be right back, Miss Rogers. And he like walks over to the table and he walks back and he goes, yeah, no, she's 17. Like, that was the lady that I was pointing at. And I was like, oh!
So you were right. They didn't have a teacher there at all.
Mm-mm, they did not.
Wow.
And so I text in Sarah. At this point, Sarah has Sally sitting with her also with the group and another kid. And I just assume that Sally and the other kid know. So I text all three of them because we were literally across the street from the hotel.
Yeah.
So I tell my parents and I said, you guys stay with the kids. And I text the three of them and I said, we are all going to walk up to our rooms together and you're going to tell me what the hell is going on, or I'm putting you on a plane tonight and you can just deal with it. And you can explain to your parents why they have to pay for an additional plane ticket. And I've never seen them move so quickly. Up to the hotel. When I tell you, the third kid, he doesn't even like me, like he is done after the story, so he doesn't need like a name attached to him, literally got on the ground crying, kissing my feet. Okay. I'm telling you, no one, I don't think y'all, the only one who has seen like a little bit of my pettiness might have been Ben when I told him about my quitting story. But like,
well, I love bringing that out of people.
I can be scary, let me tell you. This kid was on the ground kissing my feet, like crying, sobbing.
Like some biblical testament.
He was like, you're excused, you can get out, bye. And so he went to his room. Sally like reamed her in, she was excused, came to Sarah. called her mom. Her mom literally, when she thought that I wasn't on speakerphone anymore, was literally like, Sarah, it's not your fault, honey. Like, I know you have stuff going on and blah, like, oh my God.
I know you've been taking meth at night. That's okay.
Such an enabler. So I ground Sarah to her room. Like, at they're supposed to like be able to have this social gathering thing for the whole conference. She can't go. Like, she's stuck in her room. She's not allowed to go.
She already had her social gathering. She's fine.
Huh?
She
got a whole class of people to.
So I literally, like, while they're at the social, then now all the kids are like trying to give me all the dirt on Sarah. So like Sally comes back up to me after I like ground Sarah and is like, Sarah has been shoplifting this entire weekend, and we all have been going behind her paying for things so that we wouldn't be like kicked out of the conference, or so that you wouldn't find out.
A bunch of snitches.
Like 100%
a bunch of snitches
and a thief.
No. Shoplifting is totally fine for legal purposes. That's a joke, but the snitching is the worst part for me.
So then, like, I'm sitting in front of her room to make sure she doesn't leave, because all these kids are telling me that she's planning on sneaking out. I start to go to the, like, I get up to go to the bathroom in my room to come back. Uh-huh. And, like, as I'm coming back to her room, this guy just walks in front of me. And, like, I guess he thinks I'm a child. I guess so. It's the boy that Sarah had a crush on. Ooh. And he just, like, walks into her room. And I'm like, do you not see me right here? So I then like go and I catch the door and I swing it open. Homeboy literally tries to hide between the curtains by the window.
It's like a cartoon where the feet are like just popping.
Sarah's
where
like,
else were you gonna hide in that short notice?
She's like, hey, Miss Rogers, like, what's going on? Trying to be all buddy buddy with me. And I was like, get out. Like, what? Out. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, do you actually think I'm that stupid? Like, I can literally see his shoes sticking out.
I don't think you're stupid. I hope. I have a genuine hope that you are.
No, oh my God. Like, so then she's like, well, he was only bringing me ice cream. And he like comes out behind the curtains and has like a bag of like Ben and Jerry's pints of ice cream. And I was like, great, you can drop it off at the door and skedaddle. And she was like, no, like, we just wanted to hang out. And I looked him dead in the eye and I said, I am literally not only going to report you to your teacher, I'm going to make sure this conference never allows your school to come back here again. Ooh. Unless you get out of my face in about 10 seconds. And he's like, oh, okay, bye. And he like ran for the hills.
Love is strong, but it's not that strong.
Teenage love is that strong. They're like, I need this person in my life. We met and I've only had two meals together, but I know she's my soulmate.
I'm telling you, this conference means so much to some of these Model UN kids. Like, it really does.
Considering there was 13 kids on this trip and you've only fake-named 3 of them, I assume the other 10 were, like, crushing
phenomenal. Phenomenal humans. Phenomenal human beings. And I still, like, Sally's sweet. Like, she literally went all weekend telling everyone she was my little sister. I don't know why, but it's okay. It's fun.
That's what we call a teacher.
She's like, she saved me from not going to jail for Sarah's drug addiction.
I think, okay, like, she said, like, the dumbest thing on the way back from the hospital, too. She goes, everyone asked her, like, oh, what hospital did you go to? And she goes, I think it was some Islam place. It was Cohen's.
Oh, what?
I was like, oh no. She kills me. But anyways, Sarah starts having an absolute temper tantrum because I wouldn't let this guy stay in the room. As if she's surprised or something. Call her mom again. And again, her mom literally is enabling her the entire time. I don't know why she won't, like, her mom literally says, I don't know why Miss Rogers won't let you go do whatever. You're 16 years old.
What? You're like, this is New York City. This is not like some, like, tiny North Carolina. Like, this is literally New York City.
Yes. So just ground her for the rest of, like, she does not come out for the rest of her night. The next day, One kid almost got a concussion from a mosh pit from the social they had the last
night. Absolutely.
I've been to Model UN. That, I remember that. Like, I remember totally, like the socials turned into raves, and I don't know why. But I've got a Model UN story after this.
Kids have a social gathering, and they just go, what are we not allowed to do?
Hurt each other!
And what would make us look real cool?
And then we also found out that we sat next to the Romans the entire week, which I don't know if you remember, but at this time, Italy was like shutting down.
Like, yeah.
100%. So we sat next to the Italians the entire week, which was great. And then we came home. Like, I was finally like, yes, everything's done with. Everything's fine. We made it. The weekend is done. And as I'm getting my bag from baggage claim, Margaret comes up to me and is like, okay, I'm ready for my $500 now. I gave that to you days ago. And she's, no, you didn't. You have it. So I need you to give it to me in front of like all of these other parents. And I'm like, I don't have your money. Like, and I was like, you know what? We're going to have to talk about this later. I have to talk to Sally's parents. I have to talk to Sarah's parents. Like, I do not have time for this right now. And I don't hear from her for a week. And then exactly 1 week later, 2 days before the lockdown starts and we go out of school, she comes back to my room convincing her mom that I have her $500 and I just pocketed it.
Wow. What?
And told the assistant principal.
How did you not kill her?
I wanted to so bad.
You're like, no.
When I tell you, like,
what was the resolution there?
COVID lockdowns.
I guess that's what we call a silver lining.
Yes. And that is the worst field trip, the most unfortunate weekend, and the reason I will never do another field trip again.
Wow. Insane.
Oh my god.
I used to work at the YMCA, and I was the only bus driver at the YMCA. So I had to go on all of the field trips with the students at the YMCA. And one time we had a student find a payphone and dial 911 six times until the police came there. And then the police threatened to arrest a 9-year-old girl. And that, I enjoyed that one. That was a fun one. That was a really good one for me.
Holy
moly. I just went to museums as a child and was fine.
I did Model UN my sophomore year of college, and we went to Chicago. And what happened was is that we get there and we are Iran, which immediately does not put you as a great nation to be most of the time, because you are like, you're everyone's enemy, which is kind of fun. But
now you're America, which is different.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah. We don't have like Ayatollahs. But so we were hanging out, and here's the thing. I just could not, I was part of, me and this girl, I want to say her name was like Rachel. We're part of this general assembly, and we are just chilling. We are kicking it. And then we're like bored because you're supposed to pass notes to each other to like get deals and things like that. Well, it was like the end of the first day. It's a 3-day conference. It was like, actually it was probably lunch on the first day. I was like, well, this is boring. Do you want to go to this convenience store? And we picked up a whole bunch of markers and a whole bunch of construction paper and scissors. And so we started making fun little cards to send to people with the colors of like their flags. Like we started, and at one point on like the second day, one of like the UN like head people like that was running was like, we'd ask everyone to make sure that their notes are very serious and very like about international politics. And I'm literally amidst cutting a maple leaf for Canada. Just like, this is fun.
I also want to clarify, you were a sophomore in college when you did that.
Every story you tell, I think that's the most Ryan story.
And it's just the most friendly, most loving, like, I'm going to make a maple leaf for Canada.
He said, I went to the Model UN as Iran, and I did arts and crafts to make the other countries like me.
And they loved us. By the way, India sat next to us. They would bring 2 liters filled with vodka, and we're just hammered the entire time. They were just eliminated. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, India, would you mind taking this over? And they're like, eh, yeah, we will.
As, you know, this is custom in India.
As is custom, yeah.
Absolutely. We love it when white kids from Midwest colleges play other cultures.
Yeah. It went well.
That was a good idea.
Oh, man. Well, thank you for the telling us about the most unfortunate weekend ever. I loved hearing about it.
Thank you.
I love watching that unfold.
I love it. I love it.
It's really fun to tell now. It was not fun at the time.
Not fun to live.
So we've heard about teachers, like the story. That was the big story. This is the biggest thing. Every day, I imagine, there's a kid that says something stupid or does something stupid.
Yes.
Do you have like a couple like quick silly ones? Like this is the silliest thing or like the dumbest thing I've heard a kid say.
Oh yeah. One time I had a kid just come up, a teenage boy comes up to me, first start of class. I haven't even had my caffeine yet. And he just looks me dead in the eye and goes, Miss Rogers, do you have any Vagisil? And I just... And I'm like, all I can think right now is I don't have the energy to deal with
this. Did you not ask why?
I looked at him and I was like, why do you need it? And I said, I need you to explain your question. That was what I said. I said, I need you to explain your question. He goes, what do you mean? My lips are chapped. And I was like,
oh.
I looked at him for a second and I like didn't understand and I was so confused and I go, did you mean Vaseline? And he goes, oh yeah!
He knew. He had to know.
For a second I thought this was like maybe a she's the man kind of thing where he's like, what do you have tampons for? Nosebleeds.
Nosebleeds, yeah.
No, I did. Okay, so another one. I had a kid. I'm like choking on something. I had another kid come up. Angry, just so mad. And he's like, Miss Rogers, I'm tired of you being so sexist. And I was like,
oh,
what did I do?
Usually like, it's Ryan that's the one that.
Oh my God.
he goes, I don't understand why you favor the girls so much. Like, it's not fair that you give them extra candy and not anyone else. And I was like, I don't have money to give anyone extra candy. Like, I'm a teacher. And he goes, I always see you giving girls candy from the bottom drawer. And I was like, oh. Bottom drawer? And he's like, yeah, because it should be equal. So I was like, all right, go ahead, open it, take what you need. And he like opened it and paused and just looked at all these tampons in the drawer. Oh, and I was like, what, you need something? Take whatever you need.
Yeah, grab a couple, share it with your friend.
Go share them with Nick. He has the Vagisil.
Yeah, right.
No. I'm trying to think of so many others.
I had a kid in my 8th grade class. We were learning about World War II. And at one point, we're getting to the end of it, and it's like, hey, we're just going to go over some stuff. It's the day before the test, and we're just like, okay, as you remember, Germany is on this side and this. And then one girl in the back of my class just raises her hand, and she goes, wait, so is Hitler the bad guy? And oh. I just sitting there just go, you're going to fail.
What if she followed up with, because that's not what my dad said.
A misunderstood genius, truly. Like, oh my God.
I was doing a review for World War I before they took their test the next day. And I had a girl raise her hand and go, so we're not ready for this test. And I was like, why should we haven't learned everything? Like, when are we going to learn about Hitler? And I was like, that's the wrong World War. He's in the next one. And she goes, are you sure? And I was like, yeah.
Yes. Oh my God. Are you sure? Oh.
Sometimes it's really hard to believe that you shouldn't leave a child behind.
There were definitely children left behind.
Teaching the older kids, I assume that I don't have incidents where, like, the Tooth Fairy or Santa Claus or anything like that is revealed, right? I had one of those moments when we were having a very serious conversation. We were talking about the Atlantic slave trade. I asked for questions at the end, and one kid raised his hand and goes, I don't understand how Wakanda allowed this to happen. And I looked at him, and at first I was mad because I thought he was making a joke. He was not making a joke. He was 100% serious, did not understand why T'Challa did not intervene. Slave trade. And I had to explain to him that Black Panther wasn't real. And
Oh my god. Wow. That was a
rough day.
That sounds like a wonderful day. Honestly.
It was. It would if his mom wasn't so psychotic.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
It's always the parents that ruin the fun days.
She used to request that I walk him to the cafeteria to make sure he didn't buy red Gatorade. And I'm like,
blue Gatorade's fine, but like red Gatorade.
Apparently, like red dyes messed with his ADHD. And I'm like, I have ADHD and I've never heard of that. And then she asked for my phone number. Uh-huh. And when I told her that I don't give out my phone number, she's like, why would you act like I asked for that? That would be inappropriate. And I'm like, I'm looking at the email
where you asked
for it. And she's like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. And she hung up and then called the office and asked them for my phone number. And I'm like, bro.
She's like gaslighting you. She's like, I never did that. And how dare you say that? And then literally calls and is like, quickly, give me the number.
While she's confused, help.
Oh man.
So at what point during your teaching career did you start making videos on TikTok?
It wasn't until my third year teaching. So it was last fall.
Okay.
And it was on accident. My kids had been asking me to get on TikTok for like the last year. I was like, no, that's stupid. I'm never gonna be on TikTok. And then during online learning, I've never had issues bonding with students before. I'm always the one that'll joke around with them. I'm always the one they want to stay after class and talk to. And they wouldn't say crap. They wouldn't say anything. They were so sad and so depressed. It was completely virtual. Like, most of them hadn't left their house in months. So I was trying to find something that I could do. And I asked the kids if I should join, and they got so excited. They made my handle. They said, Ms. Rogers, it's really your world and we're all just living in it. You should be our Rogers world. And I was like, you guys get me. So made that, did some dumb trends with another teacher that was on TikTok, Brenda. She's awesome.
Yeah.
And then one day some kid said something dumb in class and they're like, will you tell the story on TikTok? And I'd seen a bunch of other storytelling series. Like, the number one I remember was Real Things Said in My Religious University or things like that.
Okay.
And so I created Real Things Said in Classrooms. And the first few just took off. And I was like, wow, I didn't think people would like me. I'm not that funny. And I just, ever since, I've had hundreds. Every day I get hundreds of stories sent to me of people asking me to turn their experiences into a skit. And I had to create two more story time series. One is I Don't Get Paid Enough. And the other is just story time, which I Don't Get Paid Enough and Real Things are more like silly things, whether they be crazy parents or silly students or even teachers that maybe shouldn't be in education. And then story time is really serious things like school shootings or code red scares or teachers getting sexually harassed or students getting sexually harassed at school or things like that, just because it's kind of turned from, I mean, obviously I still make my kids laugh. My kids still come into my lives. Kids that I haven't seen in years still will just bombard me, hey, I'm her favorite student. And I'm like, shut up. But it's also kind of like raising awareness to, hey, most of you don't know how crazy schools are, but they're batshit insane.
Yeah.
We believe it.
Once you started doing TikTok and you started blowing up, what was it like to be like the quote unquote TikTok famous teacher?
So ironically enough, I stayed completely virtual the entire year that I started. And part of that was because most of my colleagues were a lot older and I liked virtual learning. Uh-huh. I was really good at it. I made little animated content videos and those were the worst to create. But once they were actually made, it was nice because I had them and my kids, they learned a lot. And so they had me virtual the entire time. And I never really went into the main building at all the entire year. It was really isolating. So I never really had that TikTok teacher experience. And then when I started this year, it was kind of, I had kids like coming in that I'd never, I was like, I don't know who you are. You're not on my calendar. You need to leave. You're not mine. And
making kids want to come to school.
It was weird. I was like, you've never wanted to come to school before. Now I need you to go to your actual class. I don't even physically have enough desks for all of you in here. Like, get out. It's been interesting. It's funny. And then half my kids didn't even know. Like, they had no idea. And then I just remember one of my kids, she loved watching my content. And she asked something about TikTok. And one of my girls goes, Miss Rogers, you're on TikTok? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, are you cringy? And I was like, yeah, a little bit. I guess so. Yeah, I'm a grown adult with a watermelon on my face. I guess a little bit.
Okay, you mentioned teaching virtually, and you were virtual the whole year. I've talked about, like in my sketches, as you know, you've been in one of them at the table recently. Anytime I talk about like virtual learning versus in-person learning and what states are doing what, there's always a flame war in the comments of like kids and teachers and parents and everybody being like, you have to go in person or else you're not gonna learn. But then also the people that are like, you have to, like, you can't do virtual. Like, doing virtual is just like ruining the kids' like mental health and like all this. But if you go in person, then the COVID, obviously. So like, just from the inside, the perspective that you had, like kind of pros and cons, virtual versus in person, like what was your experience with it? And like, if there were to have been changes with that specifically, what do you think would have made it better?
I think the number one thing that a lot of people fail to realize, and I try to verbalize it as best as I can whenever it comes up, is that, you know, a lot of people thrive best in person, right? Because for them and for their learning strategy, virtual just doesn't work.
Right.
The same goes for other kids, where in-person learning isn't the best way for them to learn. And for some kids, virtual learning is best. And I think the point here is that no one way or other is going to be best for everybody. Everyone has different learning styles, different learning strategies. And it's the point that the way the education system is right now, there's no way to properly hit every single one of those learning needs. And so it really just depends on the individual. I am a visual learner. I like looking at charts. I like looking at maps. Like, that's what helps me. Uh-huh. So virtual learning for me was more of a pro. I liked the organization all in Google Classroom. I liked everything on Weebly. I liked looking online at all whose assignments were in, whose weren't. I could look online at who's absent, who's not. It was really easy for me. My colleague, who I love dearly, who was 75 years old, did not thrive teaching virtually at all. He would show up at my room, I don't know how to use the stylus on my laptop. I'm like, well, you literally just point and click. Like, it's okay.
Well, to be fair, they were born in 1947. So, like,
quick math. I love that man, like, more than what an adorable human. And he will continue teaching another 5-10 years, I guarantee. He's already 40 years in.
Well, statistically speaking, probably not.
I'm telling you, he's the most, like, fit British man I've ever seen in my life. Like, he still goes surfing at 75.
Good for him. Wow.
Second thought I might be wrong.
Has he gone surfing in a hurricane?
I hope not.
It's weird that you say that, though, because the one teacher that taught till he was like 82 at my school was named Mr. Robinson, and he was a strong British man who was like, fell out of a plane once.
It's different.
And my parachute didn't deploy. Yeah, just kind of roll with it.
I fell through the roof of the school.
It was really wild.
That's just how I became a teacher.
He had like a crazy like walk. He had like a cane. He was very like a very typical British man. And taught till the very end. But even before he passed away, I think it was like 4 weeks before he 4 weeks prior to his death, he was still teaching. And then was like, maybe I should go to my deathbed. And like lay there, and that's when he gave up teaching. He was like, maybe I should just rest before this whole thing comes to an end. And I was like, wow.
The Monopoly Man was your teacher.
Yeah, right.
Oh man, you brought this up a second ago, kind of in a quick thing, Rebecca, you said the education system as it is now is just not able to help teach everyone. And I know this is kind of a loaded question, but I always like having this debate with people. If you had the power, what would you change in the education system?
Everything. I would if I could. Okay, the number one thing, if I couldn't demolish it from the ground and build it back up, even though I think that like it could be needed, this is exactly what I would do.
Okay.
First of all, I would, number one thing that you have to do is like incentivize teachers. Because, and I know everyone always gives the argument of like, oh, well, there's so many bad teachers. Okay, then give the good ones a reason to come back. If they've gone, if they left, if they can do more because they're willing to put in the work, most of them are going to leave if they haven't done so already.
Right.
Give them an incentive to come back and then raise the requirements, like actually take teacher evaluation seriously so that you can get rid of the ones that don't need to be there. And then value and respect the ones that are left. And that is 100% one thing that I would do.
That is also an issue that the military has. A lot of times when it's time to re-up, to re-sign a new contract, the best soldiers leave. Mm-hmm. And now all these staff sergeants are left with just like the worst of their platoon because these are the kids that won't have anything else on the outside waiting for them because they need the military. We're the good soldiers that were smart and self-sustaining and all that. They left. They figured it out. They got their little head start. They got a little foothold and they bounced.
And it's actually to the point where it's now a thing on teacher TikTok. It's called teacher quit talk. And it's 100% a thing that like everyone is leaving. And I had so many conversations with a lot of my old colleagues about this. Those that already have so many years, especially decades invested into education, I mean, they have to stay, you know, what are they going to do? But new teachers that only have a couple years they're not staying at all. Like my teacher friend group on TikTok, there's 9 of us. We all were teaching last spring. 2 now are still currently teaching.
Yeah. Nobody blames you.
No. And there are colleges that are literally suspending their education programs because there's no one signed up for them and they can't keep the professors and staff to pay them because no one is taking the classes.
I could be wrong here. I haven't done the full research, but I heard during like my state research, the governor of New Mexico has signed up to be a substitute teacher because of the teacher shortage. And she called in the National Guard of New Mexico to substitute teach classes.
They'll do anything but pay teachers more. I actually did hear, I had some New Mexican teachers send me a message. They're like, actually, like, she's doing a great job.
Yeah.
So, like, props to her.
She's great. New Mexico is always, always, always at the bottom of the country for funding for schools, per pupil funding. They're always, like, 49, 48 around there. So, like, it's great that she shows up, but she has yet to actually put the money where her mouth is.
I'll believe it when I see it. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if North Carolina was like 47th and right up there.
Oh, no, they are.
I'm sure. Yep.
Florida's like 42nd.
I think it's really funny whenever I post something.
It's pretty easy to guess. If you think your state is low, it's probably pretty low.
I think it's really funny whenever I post something about like how unsustainable teaching is right now. And then the number of comments that are like, oh, this is why we should abolish unions because teachers are stupid. And I'm like, considering there's no unions where I'm from, I don't think I'm the stupid one here.
Yeah.
Do your research a little bit better, my dear. I had one guy yesterday literally comment on my video about New Mexico sending in the National Guard to sub.
Yeah.
That they shouldn't pay public school teachers more because it wasn't fair that private schools had better scores and not better pay. That was their argument.
I think I'm going to do a sketch because I still have my dress blues. So I think I'm going to do the sketch where I call in the National Guard of New Mexico to come teach, like substitute teach class. And I'll just be me in the dress blues going, I have no idea what I'm doing. Who wants to learn how to shoot an M16? we have a couple more minutes left before this episode is coming up. So we do want to ask, do you have any projects that you've just started or any projects that you have coming up that you're excited about that you want people to know about?
Yeah, so me and a couple other really awesome TikTok teachers, so Honest Teacher Vibes, Mr. Williams, Miss Wooly, we have a podcast going ourselves called Teachers Off Duty. It was bought by Board Teachers, which is a really big teacher.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We have been with them for a couple months now. It's going really well, and it's just exciting. And So I did the little filter thing that Ryan did that was like, in 2022, you will blah, 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 blah.
I think Ryan said die, right?
Yeah, mine said die.
Yeah.
That was fun for
which can I say something? That's the video that like it did okay on TikTok. It blew up on Instagram, and I was like, hurtful.
People are like, yeah.
I know, I saw your comments on it.
I commented, I was like, somebody found my vision board.
Yeah.
Well, mine said that I was going to become a gamer, and Ben knows I've been thinking about doing Twitch things.
Yeah.
And so now it's a sign.
It's the start of us playing League together. That's the real.
Oh, yes. I don't know if I could stream League though, because I get angry.
That makes it even funnier.
That's the best part. I say quite a few bitches a lot of
time. When you get to ranked, we'll play, and then you can tell me if it's like safe to go.
Oh man.
Well, thank you,
Miss Rogers.
Well, thank you, Rebecca, for coming on the podcast. We always love talking to our friends here. Before you go, where can people find you outside of this episode?
Our Rogers World on everything except Twitter. I need an underscore. I'm still mad about it.
Where's the underscore? You didn't.
At the end.
Oh,
our
very
Rogers
okay.
World. Underscore.
Got it. We will put that in the description for the episode. So thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you again. I'll see you in like a couple days.
Okay,
man.
I'll see you guys later.
Bye, Rebecca.
All right. That is it. That is all. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of The Good, The Dan, The Florida Man. We hope we said something or did something this week to make you want to listen in next week. If you want to find us outside of the podcast, Dan, where can they find you?
Dan, bam, 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 all social media, except for Snapchat, which is Dan_YOLO_love. Right.
For me, at youthpastorryan.com, it'll give you links to everything that you need to find me anywhere.
And Ben, what about you? Would it be benbrainerd.com? If they aren't using theirs, they should try to because that'll help them spell it.
Yeah, it's spelled brain A-R-D.
Yeah.
You can't figure it out. Try using it. There's a link to everything on my website as well. If you want to find the podcast, we have a website for that as well, gdfmpodcast.com. There's links to everything. If you want to contact the podcast, you can email us at podcast@gdfmpodcast.com. And we have a Patreon as well. If you want to support the podcast, give us enough money to make sure that we can keep doing this. We'd appreciate that. You can find us patreon.com/GDFM podcast. The cheapest you can do is like $3 a month, but every little bit counts, so we appreciate you for signing up. We will see you next week.
Bye!